Okay, well, we've actually made our way to Hangar 4 now, the ubiquitous Hangar 4, and indeed, as you might expect, it is aircraft hangar size, nothing else at the Waddington Air Show. We're delighted to be able to actually speak now to Phil Bonner. Phil, you're with Aviation Heritage Lincolnshire. What's it all about?
Aviation Heritage Lincolnshire is a unique partnership of about 10 different aviation heritage sites, three district councils, county council, all working together to raise the profile of aviation heritage within the county. It's one of the unique things to Lincolnshire, and we're trying to get more and more people to come and visit the sites.
One of my colleagues at the University of Lincoln, Philip Swan, very key and committed to a whole range of things. I don't know if you've ever encountered Philip in his Tigers. I know he was a key sort of follower of aviation heritage.
Yeah, I worked with Philip a few years ago. We put together here at Waddington a group of Second World War aircrew who actually spoke to the serving aircrew here at Waddington of how they actually put together a raid to actually carry out that raid. And Philip brought some of the students from the media group to actually sort of film it as part of their studies.
I was just confirming that all was well with that, so brilliant stuff. How did you get involved yourself, Phil?
Well, I was in the Air Force for 38 years. My last tour was here at RAF Waddington, and I used to run the Heritage Centre here. Heritage of RAF Waddington goes back to 1916, so there's a deep and long-standing history here for the station. And I started to find out about the Aviation Heritage Partnership. And just as I was leaving the Air Force, they managed to get some Heritage Lottery funding for two full-time posts for a three-year contract, so everything just fitted in like that.
Perfect timing. Jodie?
I just wanted to ask you about the aircraft nose art competition 2011. I see you've got lots of the entries up on display here.
One of the things we try to do is to engage with the youth of today to let them know the heritage that we have in the county. Last year we did a poetry competition, and we were working with infants, primary and secondary schools. This year we extended it up to the age group of 21, 22, and it's a nose art competition. During the Second World War, the aircrew used to decorate the side of their aeroplanes, and if you go across to East Kirkby, they have Just Jane, because it's a Just Jane cartoon on the side of the Lancaster there.
Usually in states of dishabille or various clothing bits falling off, as far as I recall with Jane.
Yes, but with the school children of today...
Well, exactly so.
But what we've managed to do is we've managed to capture how young children would have decorated the side of an aeroplane today. We worked with primary schools, secondary schools, but also the art colleges. And we actually had one guy who sent his entry in from Nebraska.
Fantastic. Yeah. Can we point that out? Where's the Nebraska entry?
It's just there. Rachel, 1943.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The sort of Betty Grable pose in many ways.
Betty Grable sitting on a bomb. Yeah. And
blonde Betty Grable. Yeah. I was with brunette, I was always understanding.
But that was quite amazing because he contacted us, sent us an email to say, I've just reread the competition rules and I've actually done it more as an oil painting, so I don't think I can quite fit into it. So my colleague Dave sent him an email back saying, well, whereabouts do you live? You know, perhaps we can come around and pick it up. And he came back, laugh out loud, I'm in Nebraska.
Could have been lots of love, but don't get started on email.
Definitely laugh out loud. Certainly with David is, anyway. And he's now not quite become a bit of a celebrity, but he's been interviewed on local radio and TV stations. And he ended up by being invited along to a veterans meeting where he got to shake hands with a Second World War veteran who held the equivalent of the American Victoria Cross. You know, very brave man. But that's really sort of, shown how far and wide aviation heritage is getting it.
We've obviously got SpongeBob SquarePants images there. We've got a Betty scenario.
My favourite is Buzz Lightyear.
Very good, yes, like it. It's good.
Yeah.
A whole heap of things. We'll take some photographs, obviously, for the website. Clearly what you're doing is much needed. It's obviously funded, as we see there, by the lottery, Lincolnshire County Council, East Lindsay, and so on and so forth. It is important to remember where we've come from to get a sense of where we're going.
Yes, and if you were trying to sell Lincolnshire, what is unique to Lincolnshire? You know, other cities have got castles and cathedrals and the seaside resorts. But the one thing which I think is unique about Lincolnshire is its aviation heritage. And not only that, but it's got an international story as well. You know, you've got the Canadian story, the American, and the Polish. And if you notice over there, we've got a big Polish display, and some of it's actually written in Polish as well. And there's about seven or eight VCs who were won during here in Lincolnshire as well.
A rough guess from my Polish background, Nasza Polna Historia, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
Jodie, anything else?
We've just been in interrupted there by a blast of...
It was your theme, Jodie. I thought that was the usual thing. When normally you enter, we actually have this theme coming out.
Oh, I know. I think it's great. Were there prizes for the entrance of this competition?
The exhibition was first put on display at the Newark Air Museum at the Cockpit Festival. And some of them were... We actually made transfers to put on the aeroplanes. So you'll sort of see just on this little cockpit here, we've got some on display. And all those people who competed came along with their parents. They had the offer to come along. We had some of the photographs taken there. But this exhibition is now going to go on display out and about around in the county. Might go on display in the arrivals lounge at Doncaster Airport, but it's going to be at the Skegness Sew Festival, on display up at Skegness in the podium there. So these children are going to have an opportunity of their art being seen all around about the county.
Phil, it's fantastic what you're doing together with the rest of the aviation heritage people. Do you want to give some name checks to your colleagues whilst in terms of the team? No, that's okay. We'll hold fire on that.
There's far too many to sort of mention, but if you want to get an opportunity of finding out more about the rich aviation heritage, what you need to do is to go to our website, www.aviationheritagelincolnshire.com. That's Aviation Heritage Lincolnshire, one word.
There are certain fantastic individuals that you encounter in the world of higher education that you just actually feel blessed for their very pleasance, and very presence as well as pleasance in the whole routine from that point of view, or the pleasantry. One of those who has been a rare visitor to the Siren FM airwaves, although we're still working on it to become a regular co-presenter, etc., is the research manager for the University of Lincoln, the one and only Carolyn Williams. Carolyn, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Alex. If a little tired, shall we say, after a day and a half so far at the RAF Waddington Airshow 2011. And I have to say we've had a fantastic turnout, great support for the stand, lots of different exhibits going on, lots of different interest, computer science, image engineering, computer vision, social computing, and good old illusions, actually. So we've got everything from people who are interested from industry to children, right across the board. It's been really good.
Fantastic stuff. Jodie.
So how's it going here? Are you promoting the university, trying to recruit new students? Or?
Basically, that's right. I mean, it's really all about trying to get people interested in technology, particularly young people. Just really showing the kind of things that computer vision can do. Opening people's eyes up to the different applications. I think some people think that computer scientists don't actually produce anything. And what we need to think about is how we can apply what we do at the university. Often academics are so engrossed in solving an academic problem, they don't necessarily think about the practical applications. And we've got lots of interesting people around us in the stalls who, in the different stands here today, have come up and said to us, so what are you guys actually doing then? And they're really interested in what we've got going on because they just don't realise at Lincoln exactly the kind of potential we've got. So background change detection, aerial surveillance, eye tracking, image engineering in general, it's all sorts and everything. But of course, at the end of the day, it all boils down to the robots behind you. It's the robot football. That's what the children love. That's what brings everybody in. So, yeah, all sorts and everything, really.
Carolyn, they could never replace you with a robot. It just wouldn't have your style and panache. I've said that consistently.
No, but it'd probably last much, much longer than I will, I'll tell you. I'm knackered.
What you need is some bioquinone coenzyme Q10, courtesy of Pharmanord and Multibits. We'll have to sort that thing through. It kept me going 8 hours on a non-stop radio show from the Salt Funicular Lift on Friday. So we're keeping going, but we've moved down that. Looking ahead to these things, we've got obviously monitoring human activity, forensics without geography, defending or detecting disease, etc. It does go on to sort of show again that way in which we were talking earlier with the heritage Lincolnshire people. Yes, it's important to have a history, know where we've gone, know where we're going, etc. We've seen some fabulous displays, but ultimately cutting edge for the University of Lincoln here in terms of what the technology is offering.
It is, actually, and the thing about computer science is a lot of the computer scientists don't realise what the other ones do, because they all tend to work very slightly in isolation. We've got different research centres, they don't necessarily talk to each other about what they do, and if you bring some of this technology together, it's got absolutely tremendous potential. But I think actually working together on the stand has really kind of brought the whole team together. They've had a fantastic time. They're all a bit like me, a bit frayed around the edges after a day and a half, but we're just going to keep going.
Grace under pressure, listener. Grace under pressure.
Absolutely. But we'll cope. We'll get there. And if we get invited back again next year, we'll make it even more exciting, even more dynamic, more interactive. And I think we've done a pretty good job, actually. We had 3 weeks to set up, and we did it.
I had no doubt but that you would, actually. Web address, if people are actually listening to this online, maybe anywhere in the world from our sort of regular podcast listeners, etc., what's the easiest way to find out about the sort of things you've been doing?
Okay, well, the School of Computer Science, if you go to www.lincoln.ac.uk/SOCS, that stands for School of Computer Science, okay?
Please, you actually said that, because people might say, why do we want to actually go to Lincoln to talk about footwear? No, it's a different line entirely. It's, of course, the socks thing. Carol, it's been fantastic touching base with your good self. We'll see you again very soon.
Yes, indeed you will, Alex, and thank you, Jody, as well. Nice to see you again. Okay, then. Bye.
Jody obviously going into full force here when she actually sorts out how to get an interviewee, which is wonderful. Jody, would you like to introduce this fine soul?
Yes, this is Marwan Shaker. He's a PhD student at the University of Lincoln in robotics, and he's also one of my MAPS, which is mature and postgraduate students. Hello, Marwan.
Hi, Jody.
Marwan, just looking at this robot football and stuff that you've actually been doing here today, Carolyn's been singing your praises. This is really where all of that hard work, burning the midnight oil, poring over the sort of technical side of things, etc., this is where it all comes to life, isn't it?
At some point it's going to come to life, but till now, nope, not yet.
So tell us what you're doing today here.
Technically, I'm here helping with the robots taking here playing for a football game. Defender and attacker, and the kids trying to play with it. And as you can see from the picture you took, there is a goal and two robots, the review robots.
Now, the key thing, whereabouts in the world do you come from originally?
Originally from Iraq.
From Iraq, okay. Now, clearly, Iraq has had a bit of a patchy football team. You know, the record is... I remember the 1978 World Cup. They actually drew 1-1 with Scotland.
Yeah, 86, yeah. They got...
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's all coming together on that sort of things. But in terms of this, do you think we'll ever see a situation whereby robot football becomes a spectator sport, a bit like, you know, the Women's World Cup and the General World Cup and so on?
In the future, I think so, yeah. But at the moment, no.
Because robotics and sport is presumably a growing area where people... I mean, we've heard about robot wars and a whole range of other bits and pieces from that point of view. But in terms of... is there an application other than the sporting ones that you're looking for as far as these robots are concerned?
Till now I have seen tennis player and football, fighting robots. That's the sort of thing now they are. Yeah. But now they are going for more than this. As you can see here, this is a wheeled robot. Yeah. Now... I've seen it last year, a humanoid robot, like with two legs, two hands, and playing soccer. And there's a World Cup for it.
I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Professor Kevin Warwick. Presumably he's come across, he's based at the University of Reading, but he's very much talking about cyborgs and human-robot relations and that sort of side of things. Did your own research pretty much focus on robots as totally separate, or do you see a kind of interface between robots and humans?
Just robots.
Okay, we've got to keep the robots here from that sort of point of view. Fantastic. And if I was to actually ask you, in one word, what is special about robot football? What would you actually say? Or in a quick sentence?
Quick sentence. That's hard. It's football. It's the language that connects everyone. Even... machine.
Brilliant. I think that's great.
I don't think there's the word for it.
No, it's great. Jody.
Now, I've just got something to ask here. Obviously, you're involved in this robot football. Are you going to have a robot shopper for the women so that when the men are out there playing robot football and watching robot football, are we going to have, you know, robots to help us go shopping to keep us occupied?
We already have a automated scooter where it just set it what you want to list and go to the co-op and shop. This project's done, I think, a year ago, I'm not sure.
Other supermarkets presumably are available, but if you want to
just an example.
Exactly. So where can I buy one of those?
To now, there is no commercial, just experiments.
Which is actually tying back with what Carolyn was saying earlier, of course, that, you know, on the one hand, yeah, you're doing some fantastic, really great research, but it's the application of the technology and seeing how the opportunity is there. That's where really, you know, there's a real link of getting universities more involved with shows like this.
That's true. All we need is, okay, I'm giving the theoretical upper part, I'm explaining, I'm doing experiment. All we need is just someone to put it in real world, like put a robot, do the experiment, give it a commercial part.
Genuinely delighted to actually touch base with you, good self. I'm going to actually ask you, are you going to join Jody and myself on the midweek drive in the near future and come along and talk more about your robotic work at the University of Lincoln at Siren FM?
What time midweek?
I think we'll get either Wednesdays 5 p.m. through 7 p.m. or indeed Thursday mornings with the midweek drive morning edition 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Wednesday is fine for me.
Hey, it's good stuff. For the moment, many thanks indeed.
You're welcome.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show that when we made our journey to Hangar 4, we don't see the extraterrestrials, we don't see the Roswell alien, but we do see lots of good friends from the University of Lincoln, and indeed another fantastic legend from the Midweek Drive team, as well as, of course, being number two in the glorious sort of hierarchy of faculty heads and all sorts of other materials, etc., with currently the Media, Humanities and Technology area, Dr. David Cobham. How are you, David?
I'm very well, Alex. Welcome to Hangar 4 and the Lincoln School of Computer Science stand.
And it's really, really good. Robot football, the little robotic dog, the illusory sweets that we've actually had there. Carolyn Williams has been singing the praises of all sorts of things. You've got PhD students with all manner of things on display as well. This is really fantastic.
This is great. Yeah, we've been really busy the whole weekend. We've never stopped having people at the stand. And really, this is what we're all about. It's fun. We've got the games and the illusions. We've got the robots that the kids can play with. But as you work your way around the stand, you've got the serious research, you've got the kit, you've got the experts, the software and hardware, so we're able to showcase all the things we do.
I just have one little question. Yeah, last week, both of us actually did a number of hours of our lives at a wonderfully fascinating, interesting faculty research day. Why didn't we have these toys to play with?
Well, that's true. I think when you've only got 10 minutes or 15 minutes for your talk, there's always the danger if you bring a lot of complicated kit and you have to set it up, you know, exactly. It could all
challenges
go horribly wrong. But
exactly.
No, I think one of the things we've realised from today is what we ought to do is have more of these open days where we can put all of our kit and all of our people out on show in the same way that our colleagues in media will have their media shows. We ought to have a lot more technology shows.
Well,
it's
great speaking fun. As one who's across journalism, media and various other things, I can wholeheartedly agree. I've been saying it for years. Jodie, questions for yourself?
Well, obviously I'm just finishing the second year of my American Studies degree, but if I hadn't already started my degree, what reason should I have to join the Lincoln School of Computer Science?
Well, I think what you'd find is you could come and do a course of study, but as well as studying, you get to mingle with all these exciting experts in their fields that are right at the leading edge of their technology. So you'd actually be learning the core information, the core topics, but as well as that, you'd be finding out what the experts are currently up to at the moment. When you graduate, you've got all those skills, the up-to-date skills that people are looking for in the workplace. That's a good reason for coming along and doing that.
Convergence is a word that certainly Nicholas Negroponte coined back in the 1990s and then went through a whole range of things with respect to the challenges of that with Silicon Snake Oil by another sort of well-known writer about how successful it is. We're in the second decade of the 21st century at present. We've just seen some fabulous aircraft displays using a whole range of computing, robotics and so on, interfaced with the human area. Do you think, David, we're at this stage whereby, you know, we are just taking those first tentative steps to actually bringing together that technology, science, with the humanities, with the arts, and with the human experience?
I think that's absolutely right. I think you could go back 20 or 30 years and you could be a technologist, you could do your technology and not worry about anything else. And now we're all concerned with the human factors, we're thinking about the ethical issues, and the reason why this technology you're seeing here at the air show is such fun is because it's applied, it's realistic, but it's not just technology for technology's sake. It's applying it, it's making it useful, it's making people's lives better, making things easier and so on. So it's a different situation, and that's how technology has to be. It can't live in a vacuum.
I've already advised Carolyn that you should seriously think about a robot meerkat for future events, because, I mean, after all, dogs are nice, but meerkats are even more fun to actually work with.
Well, you could also see over those tall people in front of you, couldn't you? So why not?
Precisely. And Jodie's put in a request to actually move away from the actual robot football to actually have robot shoppers for the girls to actually sort of send out as well.
Now you see that there is the joke about that, but in the School of Computer Science we actually have one of those motability scooters, and you can trundle along and it reads the barcodes and it knows what you bought last time, so it'll take you to the areas of the shop where you think, you know, it thinks you want to do your shopping. So we're not that far away.
Is that available to students for, you know, their own use? Can I send it out and do my weekly shopping?
We could probably do that with a rate card, probably. I think we'll have to think about that. But
income generation, David. Income generation.
But the serious side of that, again, is it's about helping the elderly. So perhaps, you know, shopping might not be such a pleasurable experience, but if you're on your motability scooter and it can help you in some way, you know that you want a particular item, the software can perhaps tell you where it is and even take you there. Hopefully you'll be able to steer it and control it yourself as well. I've got visions of people being whizzed up and down the high street.
There is that out of control scooter which, you know, clearly does spring to mind, but let's not go there at this time. David, it's been fabulous as ever. Hopefully you'll be back with us on the Midweek Drive, either the evening or the morning edition, before too long.
Let's make that a date, Alex. I'll make sure that I do that very soon. Yeah.